You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Dan McMiller, Director of Missionary Recruitment in the LCMS Office of International Mission. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having me on again.
Good to have you in studio. I think last time you and I chatted here in studio was during Share-a-thon.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun to have you here as a part of Share-a-thon, and thanks for being a supporter of Worldwide KFUO and helping tell the good news of Jesus. That's certainly what you and the staff that you work with do, too, sending people around the globe to tell the good news of Jesus.
Absolutely, and I hope we can partner in that endeavor more and more.
Well, we have missionaries all over the globe, and we have yet more to send out. There are more places that missionaries are needed, right?
Absolutely. It's a changing scenario globally with emerging partners in different parts of the world and changing relationships with partner churches or emerging mm-hmm. partner churches. And so it's always changing, but we have a goal of duplicating the number of missionaries from the last Synod Convention. We're well on our way to that, but it's really difficult to say how many are needed. And I know personally that there are bishops and presidents and archbishops that contact me directly and say, hey, we need missionaries. Well, we do have a strategy, a global strategy, and there's a proper way to go about this. But there are many more needs than we are able to meet.
Well, before we get, I know today we're hoping to talk about the making that transition into missionary life and missionary family life. But before we even get to that, what is a missionary in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Who are our missionaries? What do they do?
Well, the term is used very broadly, mm-hmm. as you know, and congregations have engaged globally. Individuals, even without congregation support or district support, have engaged globally, and sometimes the term is used very broadly. But specifically, a missionary is one who is sent by the church. And we as a church body agree on how that should be done. There's been a lot of talk about how that should be done better, the best practices. And I was part of, with Dr. Culver, a committee that looked at best practices. And I feel strongly about that. But a missionary is one who is sent to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and work in a team where the office of the ministry does exist. We want to have a lot of missionaries. In fact, more missionaries that are not ordained pastors than ordained pastors in many fields around the world. But we have had a vacancy of pastors because of a variety of factors that led to the a reduction in staff or size globally. But now our church bodies, our partner church bodies are saying, this is what we need. We need help mm-hmm. in preparing our own church workers, whether that be a pastor or a deaconess or establishing a deaconess program, or working with their schools, starting Lutheran schools, providing Lutheran educators, providing mercy ministry. The teams are broad and varied. The number of positions are broad and varied. But we all work toward bringing the saving message of the gospel, of forgiveness of sins and life and salvation through Christ Jesus as our Savior, and connecting these people to a parish where they can be shepherded. These are sheep mm-hmm. without a shepherd, presumably, where they can be cared for and nurtured in community. So it's really beautifully described in Witness, Mercy, and Life Together. We go to witness, we provide mercy, and we connect individuals to a parish where they can have a strengthened relationship with the church, with the body of Christ, and with word and sacrament.
So missionaries serve in a variety of ways. Ultimately, it all supports the proclamation of the gospel, connecting people, especially, as you said, those sheep without a shepherd, connecting them to a parish so that they can hear God's word, receive his good gifts in that community, in the body of Christ. And so missionaries could be doing a number of things, as you pointed out, from mercy work to theological education to Lutheran schools and education, a number of things, communication specialists,
yes.
a number of opportunities and ways to serve. It's not just pastors, or it's not just deaconesses, and not just educators, but a number of ways that missionaries serve.
Yeah, absolutely, and a growing need around the world is to have someone handle the short-term teams, mm-hmm. To manage the logistics and work with the local church. So we do have people that provide invaluable services for the local team, And that's coordinated, of course, with a regional strategy. We have regions or areas and many different fields with that within those regions and areas. And this has to be carefully coordinated so the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. And we, our efforts are prioritized according to the greatest needs. And that's where we would like to engage the church more clearly so that when people want to work abroad, they actually are informed by the local church, by the local leadership that really owns the ministry. We're visitors. We're always visitors there.
So we work in partnership with those churches who are already there in
Absolutely.
That part of the world, in that community. All right. Well, let's talk about becoming a missionary. That long process. It's quite a path to becoming a missionary. I love the infographic that went out not too long ago in the the May Lutheran Witness to this.
It has been updated a bit. It's that graphic I have in front of me. But the recruitment process is where it all begins, and we really don't need to recruit. Strongly. I do make phone calls, sometimes some cold calls. But right now I have about 120 names of pastors on my database of people who have either expressed interest or communicated to others interest or been highly recommended as people with skill sets that could be useful abroad. And David Fiala, the assistant or associate director of recruitment, who works more with the laity involved in this call process or recruitment process, his list is growing as he connects to university students and laity across the church. And he's catching up to me in the number of names. So it's not so much recruitment right now as it is communicating to individuals who are interested. And there's a lot of great interest. There really is. It's amazing how much interest exists. But quite frankly, there's a lot of tension here, Andy. I do end up out of just simply being excited about the work and having served 14 years abroad in three different countries and been blessed greatly in the midst of great hardship and difficulty, but been blessed greatly. I can't help but sound very enthusiastic about this when I speak to someone, but it's not for everybody. And that's sure. what the assessment process is all about, to help people understand the joys, but also the challenges of missionary life, not just for the worker, but especially for the family. And that takes a while for those who are interested to reflect, self-reflect, and go through some helpful assessments where there may be things in their life that don't make this a good choice for them or not the best timing for them.
So it's not an overnight thing where someone says, oh, I want to be a missionary. They give you a call, and then next week they're boarding a plane to serve in Africa.
Yeah, it's hard because we as church workers, especially pastors, we say, well, this is a spiritual process. This is a call. It is indeed a call. But those who have gone before you and those who are responsible for your safety or responsible for establishing a strategy into which you're going to be placed, we want to make sure that the gifts are right. Not everybody is suited to be called to be a senior pastor of a church in the suburbs. Not everybody is suited to serve an inner city ministry. Not everybody is suited to work in Hispanic ministry. There are certain gifts as compared to Asian ministry, two different cultures entirely. And so we do try to assess gifts to a certain degree. When I go through the list of names, which is this last week, I went up to the president's office with President Harrison and his team, and we reviewed 20 names. And as I was reviewing about, 300 pages of documents before I had to walk up there and answer a bunch of questions, Christ's words to Paul just kept coming over and over and getting in my mind. My strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness, and certainly are all weak vessels. But we do want to see that before we turn a family's life upside down, before you're pulled away from your present ministry or your present vocation, before your family goes through unforeseen challenges and the unimaginable change that's involved in missionary life, we want you to know a lot about that. And we have to know if this is something that's really going to be a good fit for you. And we don't want to especially hurt wives and children. This can have a lifelong effect.
Sure.
I've been on the field since 1985. We're engaged internationally since 1985. And pretty early in my life, older, more mature missionaries than me, when I was a young guy going over, they talked about how this has been very hard on their children. Missionary kids going back to the United States. What impact does this have on teenagers, adolescents, kids going back to college? Your life is changed forever. And not everybody really can understand that. And I don't think any of us understand what we're walking into when we go into missionary life. But it's not something that's good for everyone.
I had the privilege of several classmates, or a handful of classmates of mine when studying at Concordia University, Chicago, Concordia University, River Forest, now Concordia, Chicago, who grew up living abroad in whose parents were missionaries and had come back to the United States during their teen years or very early and right before college. And studied here in the United States, obviously studying at Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
Some stayed here in the United States. Some, it's in their blood. They're back over serving in countries near where they grew up.
Yes, it's in your blood. It mm-hmm. is. It really is. If you can survive, 6-7 years or more, you're stuck. And if you do, I served 10 years, or we served 10 years in South America, and then I came back. Actually grew up in the Missouri Synod, left and came back after 10 years serving in a little evangelical Lutheran Synod in Peru and Chile. And coming back, one of the missionaries said, listen, you've been over 10 years. Every time you see a plane overhead in the sky, you're going to think about your life abroad, and then some. And you do. Mm-hmm. There's not a day that goes by without reflecting on it. And our own children, all three of our children, would like to live or work internationally, mm-hmm. either in missions or otherwise. And we thought we pulled them off the field soon enough to prevent that tension or that uncertainty as to where they belong. But once they've been involved and seen the joys and understood well, those things that are hardships for parents, kids can, if the kids are handled properly and mom and dad are happy and they can put that smile on their face and say, oh, look at that huge pile of garbage. Isn't that colorful? Rather than, oh, my goodness, why isn't anybody cleaning this up? There's ways to address the change or look mm-hmm. at this traffic jam. We've been sitting here an hour. Look at all the activity around us. Did you see that building over there? Parents can nurture their kids to see these strange mm-hmm. Circumstances from a different perspective. And they grow up loving that lifestyle and handling it much better than the parents.
I hope I'm crediting the right person here. I think it was Reverend Mike Rodewald who said about his sons that, coming back to the United States, they come back to the land of their passports.
Yes.
Not necessarily home. They haven't grown up here. This isn't necessarily home for them, but rather they come back to the land of their passport. They're citizens here, but mm-hmm. the majority of their lives were spent in other places where their family was serving as missionaries. We need to take a quick break. We'll talk more about missionary life. We're talking with Reverend Dan McMiller, Director of Missionary Recruitment for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, here on His Time.
In this book, I've created 8 principles that will help you reach your potential so that you can become all you were created to be.
Live Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of Joel Osteen's latest book, You Can, You Will, from Pastor Jeremy Rohde.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
It just might be that you know someone who is aging gracefully but needs a bit of assistance. Perhaps you are looking for a doctor to make a house visit on your mom, or a handyman to fix an elderly neighbor's sink. Or maybe you think your dad qualifies for veterans benefits, but you just aren't sure. Aging Answers is a free service sponsored by Lutheran Senior Services. Make it your go-to source for aging-related concerns. LSS Aging Answers, 314-446-2475.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
A long-standing tradition at Worldwide KFUO is to broadcast two Sunday morning worship services for those unable to attend or who wish to benefit from hearing God's Word on KFUO or online. From Ascension Lutheran Church in South St. Louis, Senior Pastor Matthew Clark leads the worship during the service at 8 a.m. The live late service at 10:45 comes from Hope Lutheran Church in St. Anne, Missouri, where Reverend Tim Ostermeyer presides at worship. It's the message of mercy and forgiveness Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. This morning we're talking with the Reverend Dan McMiller, Director of Missionary Recruitment here at the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Dan, we were talking about that before we went to break, talking about making that transition to missionary life and what that can mean for the whole family. Making that there's quite this process, as you pointed out earlier. It's quite a lengthy process to becoming a missionary. It's not just something that happens overnight. And so that can involve a number of things here on U.S. soil. That involves some support raising as well as training, mm-hmm. and then making that transition to new life in a new culture and experiencing what many would call culture shock.
Yes, there's different steps of culture shock along the way. The recruitment process itself, with all the assessments, I've worked with pastors who for over a year before the call is finally extended, and that's very hard. It's very intrusive to engage someone here in the IC and strangers who are putting you through different assessments, theological questionnaire, psychological, mental health, and physical health assessments, very, very confidential processes, all before we can present the name to the president's office. And then after a year of my messing with their lives, or David Fiala or and our little staff, then they get the call, and the first hardship really comes, and that is if they accept, there's a mourning process. You're not just leaving a parish and going to another parish. You're leaving your country. You're leaving your loved ones, your family, your children, never be in an American school again. Your wife is probably giving up her vocation. You're selling a home. You're giving up all your possessions. That itself is a difficult process. What do we keep? What do you bring along? All these things that are on your walls, or the gifts through the years, or the children's belongings, mm-hmm. making that decision of throwing away things that the children are used to having within arm's reach. And that severance from your present life, and then going to a temporary residency so that you can go around and talk to people about fundraising, the network support missionary model, and doing something that's totally out of your wheelhouse, and that is to talk about a future a call that you have, but a future life that you haven't witnessed yet. And calling up pastors and begging for an opportunity to present the need that you have and the opportunities you have, and communicating why it's important for them to be engaged and engage their congregation in supporting them. That in itself is very, very hard. That can go on for 8 months. So it's conceivable that we've turned this family's life upside down, including the wife and the children and the extended family, in every way imaginable, for up to 2 years, at least a year and some months, before they finally get to the field. And they arrive on the field completely exhausted. And then they're bombarded with things that they can't imagine. So if I appreciate this time just to talk to the church in this way, and talk to you and heighten the sympathy or empathy and the support and admiration for these people, I get choked up. I get teary-eyed when I see these families going out and they're commissioned here at the International Center. I know what they're going to go up against, and I know that they have no idea, unless they're returning from to the field, and mm-hmm. we do have the blessing of returning some folks to the field who have been there before. But these kids, their lives will never be the same. These wives are going to be dumbstruck, and, mm-hmm. And the husbands are going to have to be husbands like they've never been before, and fathers like they've never been before, not to mention now carrying out their new office, or wives. Sometimes it's the woman who's called or serving, accompanied by a family, although it's usually a male because the deaconesses, most of them are single when we send. But mm-hmm. or teachers, sometimes they go in teams, both of them having work. But it's a long, arduous process, and we in missionary services and the International Center, as we've ramped up these numbers and with the regional directors and area directors, we are examining how to care for these people more effectively. But the big thing I'd like to have is a bit more empathy and understanding on the part of the pastors and districts and congregations for these people who aren't going just for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go and do it for a month. Their lives will never be the same. And the sacrifices are unimaginable for those who have not gone through that. And the rewards are mm-hmm. unimaginable. So it's a wonderful experience, but it's, again, it's not for everyone.
And I would imagine many who make this transition, some of them, the first time they set foot on soil or walk into this community is after they've already started this process and made the decision to become a missionary. It's not like they go spend 3 weeks, a month or something like that in that culture, in that community, and decide, okay, yes, this is something we'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good fit for us.
Right.
This process has already been rolling. You know, it's not like we go and learn about culture in a community and then decide. Some might have that opportunity, but not mm-hmm. everybody has that opportunity to go spend time in that culture or in that community where they may serve as a missionary.
Right. Last time we had the orientation, I gave out a questionnaire to those who were there, and I said, I asked them to be very blunt, and that was the biggest concern. That they accept the call and make this huge commitment, a life-changing commitment with a very limited amount of information. It is a huge faith step. So even though we've done the assessments and we've done as much as we possibly can, they're going into this blind, and the church has to be there to support them financially, mm-hmm. spiritually, emotionally. And we're looking at ways in which we can do that better. You know, God works through us, and I worked on several different fields, and believe me, he does miracles through strange people.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the process. Anything else about the process of becoming a missionary that you wanted to highlight this morning?
Well, the training is, we do have a 2-week orientation for the mm-hmm. missionaries once they've accepted, and that's pretty quickly put in place for them after they've accepted. And that's 2 weeks of very intensive training here at the International Center, and all the missionaries are very grateful. The high marks of appreciation for the amount of information and the quality of presentation that is there, directed by Christian Belke, the head of missionary services. We do connect them to the regional directors, and they get some more orientation before they leave. And then upon arrival in the field, there's further orientation and language acquisition, but as much as 2 weeks of orientation there. But we do want the missionaries to take their time mm-hmm. in adjusting, in getting language acquisition, and they're not thrown into service. But the very best place to learn is on the field.
Sure.
That's where they have to learn. So it's unavoidable that they're going there with a lot of unknowns, and they are going to be blown away. But they can't be prepared in any way, shape, or form prior to arriving and getting off the plane. And that's where the real learning takes place and where patience is mm-hmm. needed.
Sure. Once the feet are on the ground, you're immersed in the language and the culture. That's where you can learn the best.
Absolutely. And no amount of training beforehand is sufficient, although we're always examining ways to improve that.
Sure. Sure. Well, if someone is interested in becoming a missionary, whether it's a pastor, a commission worker, or laity, serving in a variety of ways, how do they go about that?
They can contact us at becomeamissionary@lcms.org.
Become a missionary at lcms.org. Great email address. I love it. becomeamissionary@lcms.org. Dan, I know it's a long process. What can, with just a few seconds left, what can we be praying for our missionaries in the coming days, in the coming weeks and months?
Well, I would especially ask the church to pray for wives and households and the families, that the missionaries are blessed with care on the field and on the ground, that they remember their vocation within their families first and care for one another, but also that we pray that the Lord provide support for these missionaries. Our church is doing this at a level not previously engaged in, with the direct support, that they have a good reception, they're treated well by our churches and by our districts and by circuits, etc., in providing support for them as they prepare to move to the other side of the world.
The Reverend Dan McMiller, Director of Missionary Recruitment for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dan, thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
Thanks again, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. We'll study today with Pastor Paul Becker at Concordia Lutheran Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.